Swatam yevam suryavam Welfare after death. Svartam, own interest. Eva, certainly. Anusuyavaha, without being envious. Guruta, just execute. Adokshaja, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Diya, thinking of Him. Parhi, therefore. May, unto me. Anugraha, mercy. Krita, being done. Translation, Prithu Maharaj continued, therefore, my dear citizens, for the welfare of your king after his death, you should execute your duties properly in terms of your positions of varna, ashrama, and should always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your hearts. By doing so, you'll protect your own interests, and you'll bestow mercy upon your king for his welfare after death. Therefore, the word Adoksha Jadiya means Krishna consciousness, meaning Krishna consciousness are very important in this verse. The king of citizens should both be Krishna conscious, otherwise both of them will be doomed to lower species of life after death. A responsible government must teach Krishna consciousness very vigorously for the benefit of all. Without Krishna consciousness, neither the state nor the citizens of the state can be responsible. Prithu Maharaj, therefore, specifically requests the citizens to act in Krishna consciousness, and he also was also very anxious to teach them how to become Krishna conscious. A summary of Krishna consciousness is given in Bhagavad Gita. Yat kurosi rasasi yat jovasi dirasi yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat purusha mat arpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you give in charity, and whatever penances you undergo should be done in Krishna consciousness or for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If all the people of the state, including the government servants, are taught the techniques of spiritual life, then although everyone is liable to be punished in different ways by the certain laws of material nature, they will not be implicated. Translation, Prithu Maharaj continued, therefore, my dear citizens, for the welfare of your king after his death, you should execute your duties properly in terms of your positions of varna and ashrama, should always think of the Supreme Personality of God within your hearts. By doing so, you will protect your own interests, and you will bestow mercy upon your king for his welfare after death. So this is a statement of for the citizens to follow the principles of Dharma. And within Dharma we have rules of varna and ashrama. According to one's varna, the Dharma will be slightly different, because people are of different qualification. Nevertheless, there are also universal principles of Dharma that everyone should follow, regardless of varna or ashrama. But because people are in the gunas, therefore they are given also different rules to follow for a certain purpose. So that purpose is not to restrict people, but to gradually elevate people birth after birth through the gunas with the minimum of sinful actions. So if we don't commit sin, then gradually we elevate ourselves. If we commit sin, we will degrade ourselves and we'll take lower and lower births. So that is a principle of karma. So to ensure that the karmas are good and therefore the people elevate, there are rules and regulations of varna and ashrama. So in this way, anyone can elevate no matter what guna is in. So when we come to sattva guna, then the next state is liberation, to go beyond the gunas. So these are the principles. At the same time, maintaining material necessities, because people in the gunas are attached to the bodies, so therefore material needs are taken care of. So along with that, therefore we have gradual elevation of people. When they come to sattva guna, then they become detached from material things, and then they can go for liberation. But before that, it is very difficult for them to aspire for liberation, since they have more attachments, and rajaguna and tamaguna. This is a system which will ensure progress for the jiva, individual jiva, from lower to higher, and ultimately liberation. So we know that the four goals of varnashrama: artha, dharma, kama, and moksha. Now, of course, there we don't have the discussion of prema. So Lord Chaitanya says actually the fifth goal should be prema. Normally in the system, they only speak of liberation or moksha. So in that sense, it looks a little bit incomplete. So in other words, the varna ashram system takes us through karma yoga too, jnana yoga and astanga yoga. But if we perform bhakti yoga, liberation is actually rejected as unfavorable, and we go beyond that. Yet that is not mentioned in the as one of the goals of varna ashram. On the other hand, we do have worship of the Supreme Lord, as mentioned here, adoksha jatiya. The people should concentrate their minds on the Supreme Lord. So that is also bhakti. So we could call this process also bhakti. However, this is not the major factor. The major factor is taking care of their material needs, because they're in the gunas and they don't have so much spiritual interest. So that is the major interest, and bhakti is a minor part of the system. So therefore it is not called bhakti yoga, but karma yoga. And through this process, gradually they can elevate. And hopefully, because they do worship the Supreme Lord also in this process, they can eventually take to the process of bhakti. So what has to be understood here is that this process is ultimately cannot be independent of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. If it acts independently, it does not give the proper effect. So it is called asura varnashram. And it becomes daiva when the Lord is respected, as in this case. On the other hand, it is not called bhakti, because that bhakti is a minor portion of their sadhana. And the major portion is to follow the rules of varna and ashrama. So, through that process, they gradually elevate themselves. This is the shakti of the Lord in karma yoga. They can elevate themselves up to sattva guna. When they come to sattva guna, then they are qualified for jnana. The Lord empowers jnana also if bhakti is included as a minor factor. And this allows the person to get liberation. But as I said, liberation is not the goal of bhakti, which is even a higher process. So these processes are dependent on bhakti to give their results. So jnana is dependent on bhakti to give liberation. Karma is dependent on bhakti to give material prosperity. Bhakti is not dependent on karma or jnana or yoga. They may be practiced together, but actually our acharyas and Bhagavad Gita prefer that it's not mixed at all. And we simply do bhakti. So bhakti is not dependent on other processes at all. It stands independently. It gives its results without the addition of any other yoga of any sort. So that shows the superiority of bhakti. And if we mix it, then we get lesser results. So in other words, these other processes are considered to be of lesser value, and the results are lesser. So ultimately, bhakti is higher. However, in the normal system, we have kings establishing a society and instituting varnashram for the upliftment of the people in general. So this is the process for people in general that don't really have faith to simply do bhakti. However, anyone in the system, if they're in tamagun, rajagun, or sattvagun, has faith in the process, they are free to take up that process. And they're also free to reject karma yoga, jnana yoga, and sangha yoga. So they're no longer dependent upon those processes. So in the Bhagavatam, we'll find a tracing of lineages of kings who established varna and ashram. So Swayambhuva Manu established his line of kings. And in that line, eventually, you see Pradyu Maharaj appearing. So all of these kings established general dharma for the people. At the same time, the majority of these kings were devotees of the Lord. And they were doing this as duty, but they also had great bhakti at the same time. However, they did not impose only bhakti upon the citizens, because obviously the country has to maintain itself and people have to work, etc. So the king imposes varnashram system as a practical material system for sustenance of the people in that kingdom. At the same time, in the case of many kings, we see that the king also encourages the citizens to take up the process of bhakti. So in this way, both needs are satisfied. The material needs of establishing a healthy environment with a minimum of sin through varnashram, and at the same time, ultimate spiritual advancement with the process of bhakti. So one, we cannot exclude bhakti from the process, but theoretically, we can exclude every other process from bhakti. So that is what happens with many devotees. We'll see Bharat leaves his kingdom and goes to the forest and simply practices bhakti, meditation on the Lord. So we have examples like that, where people were able to give up everything and simply perform bhakti. And we see at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says, give up everything and simply do bhakti. So, if we cannot do the other processes for some reason, then at least we should do bhakti. That should be our process. If we can, for some reason, cannot do these other processes. If we can do them with no impediments, fine, let us do them. But at the same time, there is no loss if we do not do them. So in this way, bhakti is glorified among all the different processes. As a supreme process, beyond the gunas, independent, and at the same time practical for everyone to follow. So in Kali Yuga especially, the process of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Sangha Yoga are not recommended. And only the process of Bhakti is recommended. So that is why Chaitanya says, Kalo nasteva, 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 bhaktiradhita. He rejects all the other processes and only recommends bhakti in the form of chanting the name. So that is the ultimate process for Kali Yuga. Though we'll see in the Bhagavatam other processes are recommended because the kings are preaching in other ages.
People are self-interested, not putting Krishna in the candle.
Yeah, unless one has a properly qualified king who has the power to enforce his rules and regulations. But not many people will accept that in Kali Yuga, that system. So it's rather difficult to have such a system. Just do bhakti. He's here. Yeah, as Krishna says. So if you cannot do that, at least do bhakti, and you're successful anyway. Not so much. Not really. Not so much. No. Yeah, even Daiva Varnashram, though, to set that up, is simply a Varnashram like this. We have all the varnas and ashrams intact with the king. But in Kali Yuga, people are not going to accept that. Srila Prabhupada mentions, if all people, including government servants, are taught Krishna conscious, they will not be implicated, even though they are liable to be punished. How to understand this statement? As one may take advantage of mistakes. Well, the idea here, what he says here, is that karma will afflict us inevitably because we always do activities and we always get karma. So to make the best use of the bad bargain, we follow rules and regulations of Varnashram and we minimize the bad effects. And so in this way, we can avoid the negative aspects of karma. Of course, we'll get the positive aspects. Yeah, we'll get material enjoyment. But at least one can avoid the problem of extraordinary suffering or extreme suffering caused by ignorance and commission of sinful acts.
But you find every society, the natural tendency of an individual to be in a particular world.
Yeah, but then we also have statements such as in the Bhagavatam that even the Chandala who chants the name of the Lord once or remembers the Lord is immediately free of all of his karmas and he is qualified to do whatever a Brahmin can do. So in other words, he may or may not. So theoretically, no, because even Ajamil destroyed all of his karmas by chanting the name of Narayan once, accidentally. So they may look like they have karmas, but the conclusion is no, they don't. The Lord may arrange an appearance of karmas for them, but they actually don't have any karmas.
Grantara Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Bhagavatam ki jai. Bhagavatam ki jai.
Yes.
Preferencia.
No ponches.